This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show. Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. The Morrow Midday Show is brought to you by Baker Roofing. They have been in business for 100 years. They're one of the largest, most recognized roofing contractors in the U.S., and they provide residential and commercial roofing. In 1915, Baker Roofing Company was founded on the promise of always good work. So give our friend Matt Johnson, general manager of Baker Roofing Charleston, a call or head on over to bakerroofing.com for more information. You can check out their incredible history and see all the different roofing types that are available online at bakerroofing.com. Over 100 years of always good work, Baker Roofing, bringing you the Morrow Midday Show each and every day. Bowl season begins tomorrow. It's a fun time because obviously the NFL games become even more important. And then not only that, but you get all these college football games. I think it's, 43 this year? 43 bowl games? And then plus, if you want to include the playoff, the national championship, right? And all in a short amount of time, and you got games kicking off at like noon on a Friday. It's a great time of year. So joining us once again, he usually does it this time, every Thursday throughout the football season, is Lee Sterling on Twitter at Paramount Sports. Check out ParamountSports.com. He's our official handicapper of the show and one of the best in the biz, and he's with us now for some of his favorite plays of the bowl season. Lee, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm tired. It's been quite a week. You know, it's always tough, the bowl season. You got a few coaching changes, but nothing like this year. I mean, this is crazy. And then the news last night that Urban Meyer is fired. I mean, you know what they say, nothing good happens after midnight. Well, for once it did. So thought that was strange when I woke up when I saw all the tweets that he was done. So, I mean, look at all the changes. I mean, all these kids in the transfer portal, not playing in the bowl game, COVID. I mean, it's a good thing that the holidays are coming up and I can get a little bit of time off.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm sure this is making it very tough, as you mentioned, the COVID in the NFL and then college players opting out. You don't know who's playing in these bowl games, who's even coaching some of these teams. So certainly adds another dimension that makes this very tough. But let's talk about some of these games for this bowl season. The bowl games begin tomorrow. And one of the bowls this year, we have NC State against UCLA. NC State, a slight favorite of a point against UCLA. What do you like in that game?
Yeah, and this should be a fun game here. I think that Chip Kelly probably feels the best of any coach maybe around right now. A weight lifted off his shoulders when Dan Lanning ended up taking the head coach position here for the Oregon Ducks, so he didn't have to get asked 40 or 50 times a day. But here's the problem for his team. North Carolina State, top five defense in many categories, including third down success rate. When UCLA is put in third long situations, they do not fare well, bottom 10 in the country. So they need to gain 5, 6, 7 yards on first down, put themselves in second and third and short situations. And I don't think North Carolina State's going to allow too many big gainers on first down. And that being said, I think their offense is efficient. And once they get in the red zone, we'll get in the end zone enough. I like State here, 27-20.
And by the way, that game will kick off on December 28th, Tuesday night, December 28th, as the San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl. Elsewhere in the bowl season, the game that, of course, games will be paying the most attention to around here is the Duke's Mayo Bowl coming up on Thursday, December 30th, 11:30 kick in Charlotte between UNC and the Gamecocks, South Carolina. North Carolina versus South Carolina, both 6-6. And UNC opened up as a favorite and have only grown as an even larger favorite, favored by 8 against the Gamecocks. Who do you like in that one?
Well, I think a lot of people thought that this would be a boring bowl until Sam Howell decided he's going to play. So give him credit. I think it's good. I think he wants to raise his draft stock, which more players would do it. And on the other hand, South Carolina running back, their best running back, White, has decided to opt out. And that could hurt them here. Here's the problem. If South Carolina falls behind, they're bottom 20 in passing offense success rate. I just think North Carolina has way too many weapons here. And I think because of Howell's playing, I think they're going to take it seriously. And I think they're going to throw early and often and press. So I like North Carolina. I think they're the right side, 45-30.
The other game, of course, of interest around here is the Cheez-It Bowl on Wednesday, December 29th. Clemson against Iowa State. Iowa State's favored, and I know Clemson, you know, they lost both coordinators, and they're going through all sorts of changes. Both teams have about 10 guys in the transfer portal, so who knows what to expect. But I was a little surprised Iowa State's favored. Who do you like in this game?
I was too, but I think losing both coordinators is a lot. You know, play calling, the continuity there. I mean, it's great for the guys that are taking over. You know, they can get their feet wet and try some things out. But maybe the biggest news is that Breece Hall, the running back for Iowa State, who I think is going to be a fabulous running back in the NFL. If someone takes him late first, they might be getting a bargain like the last couple guys that have been drafted, running backs the last couple years. So he's a guy that could have a big game here. And even though Clemson won the last five games, only Wake Forest was even somewhat impressive. I just think that Clemson has too many holes on the defensive line and wide receiver position. And you know, with Campbell staying at Iowa State here, I think that they're going to come in motivated. So I'm going to lay the 1.5. Should be a low-scoring game, but I'll give them a slight edge here, 24-20.
Now let's look at the playoff games this year. Talking with Lee Sterling on Twitter at Paramount Sports. Check out ParamountSports.com. But as we look ahead to the college football playoff, you have Alabama and Cincinnati playing in the playoff. Alabama favored by 13 against Cincy, first group of five team to make it into the playoff. Alabama, the number one seed, per usual. What do you like with that big number there?
Yeah, and think that Alabama's going to take a different approach to this game. They threw the ball, used the pass to set up the run when they played Georgia, but I think they're going to use the run and try to pound the rock here. They don't want to throw into the teeth the Cincinnati secondary. Cincinnati Bearcats might have the best secondary in the country. So they're going to use that big offensive line, which controlled the ball against Georgia's great defensive line. And Desmond Ridder for Cincinnati, he's going to have maybe his best game of his career. He did play well when they played Notre Dame, but he might even have to play on a different level. And I don't see it. Once they fall behind by double digits, and that's probably what's going to happen, you just don't come back against Alabama. I think Alabama pulls away late, 34-13.
I do agree with you there. The other semifinal game, Georgia-Michigan, the 2-3 matchup. By the way, both these games on New Year's Eve. Georgia-Michigan, it's a favorite. Georgia's favored by 8 against Michigan in this 2-3 matchup. Who do you like in that game?
Well, where did you think the line was going to come on this game, Luke?
I did not think it was going to be that high. I would have probably guessed, if I'm trying to think back to what I would have thought at the time, I don't know. Maybe I would have said Georgia, like maybe 4.
Yeah, okay. I thought 4.5, maybe 5. So we were right there. Now, is Georgia talented? Absolutely. If they play with the lead, it's going to be tough for Michigan. But I don't see this. This might be one of these games where neither team is leading by more than 7 points. So I thought the Georgia coaching staff did not do a good job when they played Alabama. They should have been telling their players, this is like the Super Bowl. You knock off Alabama, you don't have to face them again or worry about them again in the playoff. And they looked like they were listless, thought their game planning and also their play calling was not good. And on the other hand, look what Michigan did against Ohio State and Iowa. I thought their coordinators were excellent. I thought the kids were efficient. And they're not going to be able to run on Georgia like they did on Ohio State. But I think they have enough versatility, and their special teams are excellent. If it comes down to coaching here, I favor Michigan. I'm going to call for the outright upset here, which should be a thriller. Give me the Wolverines, 27-26.
Wow, yeah, looking forward to these games. It's potentially some really good matchups this year in that playoff. And then your game of the week, as we chat with Lee Sterling on Twitter at Paramount Sports. Check out ParamountSports.com. Game of the week, or let's just call it game of the bowl season here. Coastal Carolina favored by 10 against Northern Illinois. Another game of interest in these parts because of Coastal. How can the listeners get your insight for that one?
Yeah, this should be a fun game here. So I have a real strong opinion on this game. If anyone wants to get it, just call 800-400-9741. Again, the number 800-400-9741. 9741. We'll give them this game for free. Last year, from the first bowl game, the bowl games start tomorrow at 12 noon, not Saturday like normal. They want to get a little jump because they added a couple extra bowl games. We won 27 of the last 36 games from the first bowl game all the way through the Super Bowl. Love to have you along for the ride. We call it Double Down December. Normally it's $297. I don't offer discounts, but this year I am. If you use coupon code SAVE200, it's not $297 or even $197, just $97 through the Super Bowl, ParamountSports.com.
Perfect. Check it out. You can get to Lee on Twitter at Paramount Sports as well. Lee, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy this bowl season, and we'll catch up with you as we get ready for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, thanks, Luke. I just want to wish you and your family and your staff and all the listeners out there a happy, healthy, and everyone be safe holiday.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. You as well, Lee, and we'll catch up with you down the road. All right. Appreciate it, Lee. On Twitter at Paramount Sports, Lee Sterling. Joining us this time every Thursday up until this point. We'll catch up with them for the Super Bowl and bring on some other people in the meantime for the gambling advice between now and then. But those are his best bets of the bowl season and the playoff in college football. Now, from a betting perspective, and I've said this already, but I jumped all over Michigan when that line first came out. I think the number is way too high. I don't know if Michigan will win outright like Lee predicted, but if you're going to give me 8 points, I'll take them. And on the flip side, for Alabama, Georgia, I've already jumped on Alabama now that it's come down. It opened up at, I believe, 14, maybe 14.5. You want to avoid that hook. Once it comes down to 13.5, absolutely, I think Alabama wins by 2 touchdowns, if not more, against Cincy, the first group of 5 team to make it. For Cincinnati, what makes this what do they need to do to prove themselves other than just getting to the playoff? What do they need to do to prove to themselves that they belong? I tell you, if you keep it to 14 points, most people probably wouldn't agree. They think like, oh, yeah, Cincinnati got blown out. And it'd be more about a feel than a score. I'd have to watch the game, and if it looks like they can hang in there, even if they end up losing by 17, but they hung in there for 3 quarters, right? I think that's a win for Cincinnati in the group of 5. But remember, Alabama averages to win their playoff games by 21 points. So I would really say if you do anything better than that, you're doing better than the Power 5 teams that have gone up against Cincinnati in the playoff. So if Cincinnati hangs within 3 touchdowns, I know it doesn't sound like much. You know, that's a blowout. And depending on how the game unfolds, could be largely non-competitive. But Alabama usually blows out teams this time of year. So, you know, if you keep it to about 14, I think that's a big-time win for Cincy and just those that believe the group of 5 should have this opportunity and compete. You may come away from that game thinking like, oh, yeah, what a mismatch. They're not as good as Alabama. We already know that. But can they give them a tougher fight? That's the real test. Not if they can beat Alabama. They won't. But can they give them a tougher battle than a lot of these teams in years past from the group of 5? Or pardon me, from the Power 5? Because that's the comparison. That's the competition. Should Cincinnati be in or other group of 5 teams be in as opposed to these other Power 5 schools? We're not. The people that support the group of 5 don't tell you that Cincinnati should be in over Alabama. But it's that fourth team. Right? It was like Michigan State when they got embarrassed and Washington. Like, oh, why not take a group of 5 school? Well, if they can hang in there better than those teams, I think that's the victory for them. Who has the most pressure on them in this playoff this season? Let's count it down from 4 to 1. That provides the most drama. Number 4, I do think it is, that would mean least amount of pressure. I think it's Alabama. I don't think Alabama has anything to prove. They don't win a national championship this year? Okay. Nick Saban will be just fine. And they'll be one of the favorites next year, and they'll be back in the race. Right? We thought Alabama was having a down year. A lot of people probably even think they'd be here. In fact, I picked Georgia to win the SEC championship, so you could say that I didn't think Alabama would make it to the playoff. And here they are as the number 1 seed after blowing out Georgia. They're the favorite to win. I also bet on Alabama yesterday to win the whole thing because they still have plus odds as the favorite. They should win the national championship. They're my pick to win. But with all of that said, if they don't win, it's like, okay, whatever. Saban's won enough. You know, they blew out Georgia earlier. They're the number 1 seed. I think there's very little pressure. They have nothing to prove. That's the main thing. All these other teams have something to prove other than Alabama. They already proved it. They proved it in the SEC title game that even when Georgia's having a great year and they're having a down year, they're still that much better. Doesn't matter. This could be the worst Saban team he's had. It's certainly the youngest team he's had since arriving to Alabama. It doesn't matter. Georgia, this could be the best team Kirby Smart has ever had there. Alabama, still 3 scores better. Still 20 points better. They've already proven themselves. They have nothing left to prove. Saban's proven himself 10 times over. He doesn't win a national championship for the rest of his career. Doesn't matter. He's still the greatest coach of all time. So Alabama's number 4. Even though they're the number 1 seed and they're the favorite to win it all, if they don't, Maybe you'll call it a disappointment. Whatever. Alabama, Saban's already proved himself. They've proven themselves this year. They got nothing left to prove. Number three, I would say, is Cincinnati. Because Cincinnati doesn't have a whole lot to prove because they made it there. But the reason why I put them three ahead of Alabama, even though they're a 14-point underdog, is because Cincinnati, even though they're leaving the group of five, they kind of have the whole group of five on their shoulders. If you go out there and you lose by 30 points, not only does it reflect poorly on you, but also just the entire group of five. Because those who are against the group of five having a spot in the playoff will point to that and say, see, this is what you want. They should never have been there. So for Cincinnati, the pressure, you know they're not going to win the national championship this year. But the pressure comes in which they're representing really an entire group of schools here in college football, as well as themselves. Now, it's a little bit awkward because they're bailing on that group. They're only there for now. They're leaving. They're going to a Power 5 conference. But in the meantime, they're representing right now the group of five. They've already kind of won just by getting here, becoming the first group of five team to get to the playoff. But the job isn't done yet. You shouldn't expect them to beat Alabama. I wouldn't even expect them to keep it a single digits. I just told you, I'm taking Alabama. I think Alabama, I'll tell you now, before our official picks, before a kickoff, I'll tell you, I think Alabama covers a 13.5. But for Cincinnati, you're representing an entire group of college football teams that want this opportunity, so you have to represent them well. Then we get to the next two schools. I put Michigan number two for most pressure, obviously revealing that Georgia is the team I believe has the most pressure on them. More on that in just a moment. But for Michigan, while they're number two, I honestly don't think there's a ton of pressure on Michigan either. I think Michigan's playing with house money. In fact, as I'm laying this out right now, I'm almost talking myself into flip-flopping Michigan with maybe a Cincinnati. I don't think there's a lot of pressure on Michigan. Because what's been the knock on Harbaugh? Couldn't beat Ohio State. Will he accomplish that? Never's been to the playoff. Well, he got there. And now the next step, obviously, is winning a playoff game, going to win the national championship. But, you know, maybe we do this a few steps at a time. Do you have to do it all at once this season? Does he have to try to accomplish everything on that bucket list? I think Harbaugh has already won. People wanted him fired. They were doubting him. And now here he is in the playoff. And not only that, but he's done it with an unranked team from the start of the season. Cincinnati, people thought should have been in the playoff last year. Alabama, Georgia, going into this year, we thought they were the two best teams. Michigan is the one surprise that at the start of the year, I don't know how many people picked Michigan to be here. So in that sense, they've already won. Even if they lose to Georgia in the first round, this is an incredibly successful season for Harbaugh. First time he beats Ohio State, first time in the playoff, gets some of the doubters off his back after, you know, everybody wanted him gone last year. And not only that, but what we just talked about, they're an 8-point underdog. They're the number two seed. Georgia's the number three seed. And yet Georgia's favored by eight. So a lot of people aren't even expecting Michigan to win this game anyways. So I'll keep them at number two, but as I lay out my case for each team, I'm almost convincing myself in the process that even that's too high, that Michigan doesn't have all that much pressure on them either. But then that takes me, of course, to number one, which is clearly Georgia. Even though Georgia lost in that SEC championship game and they're the number three seed, I think it only puts more pressure on them. Because if they lose to Michigan, it will take two games to wipe out all the success they had their first 12 games. All that will become irrelevant. In fact, it'll make them look worse. Like, sure, you had a great regular season, but then you lost your two biggest games of the year. You lost to the two best teams you faced. That historic defense didn't look so historic anymore. And then, of course, you factor in 40 years since the last national championship. They were the number one team and the favorite before the SEC title game. Kirby Smart has always lost the biggest games of his career. Everything else that goes into it. Oh, by the way, you're an 8-point favorite in the first round. You should win that game. And then if you do and you go up against Alabama, the pressure will be on to at least do better than the first time. Not necessarily win outright, but can you be more competitive or are you going to get blown out twice? And then we have the whole storyline of Kirby against Nick Saban once again, and Kirby can't beat Nick Saban, and he's in his head, and yada, yada, yada. It's clear the most pressure is certainly on Georgia, even if they're not the number one seed anymore. Just because of what they accomplished throughout the regular season, they're still number one for the most pressure and the most to prove. That's the big thing. Alabama has nothing to prove. Harbaugh, I really don't think has much to prove at this point. Cincinnati has half of the battle to prove. They've gotten here. That's the first part, but now you have to show that you should be here and you can compete. And then Georgia, you got everything to prove. This is the best team Kirby Smart has had. Can you prove that you can, if you have the opportunity, finally beat Saban? Can you finally win the biggest game of your year? Can you finally get a national championship for the first time in 40 years? Is this defense as historic as it seemed in the regular season? Are doubters right that your schedule, right, was a little inflated? It wasn't as good as we all thought. Maybe you fooled us this whole year. Georgia still has the most to prove once we get to the college football playoff. In the meantime, though, we have all sorts of bowl games going on. When we come back, how well do you know your bowl games? Plus, as we get ready for bowl season, Trying to pick the winners can be very difficult, but there's one thing to look out for, and it could play a role for both South Carolina and Clemson in their bowl games, and we'll get to that next. It's the Mara Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Mara Midday Show.
What you got to say? Said, hey, hey, hey. What you got to say? Hollywood, Hollywood swinging. Hollywood, Hollywood swinging.
It's the Mara Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Appreciate the time last segment from Lee Sterling giving us some of his favorite plays of the bowl season in college football, including the playoff matchups. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast, and you can find it there. Appreciate the time from Lee. In regards to the college football playoff and the teams that have the most pressure on them, I gave you my ranking last segment, but then even in the process, I kind of talked myself out of it. But I think at the end of the day, regardless of if I want to swap Michigan with Cincinnati, it's still Georgia that has the most pressure on them. And then their chief rival, Alabama, I think has the least amount of pressure on them. And we'll see what happens playoff games, which New Year's Eve, it was such a ridiculous idea. I have not looked into this. I don't know why we've gone back to New Year's Eve. I don't know if this is in the contract every couple of years. It has to be New Year's Eve. I don't know who thinks that this is a good idea. And they're playing them like a little bit earlier than maybe years past, but Georgia-Michigan kicks off at 7:30. These college games take forever, so you know it's going to at least 10:30, probably after 11. It's New Year's Eve. Ridiculous. And by the way, I got a wedding on New Year's Eve this year, so this is going to be very difficult for me. I'm going to have to find a way to, I'm going to have to pretend like I had some bad shrimp or something. Like, oh, I got to step out and then just go watch the game somewhere. But come on, New Year's Eve, terrible planning by college. New Year's Day has always been the day. And I know we have the other bowl games going on New Year's Day, but what are you doing on New Year's Day? You're just recovering from New Year's Eve. You're sitting around wanting to watch some big-time college football. I thought we learned our lesson a couple years ago. Such ridiculous planning. 3:30 and 7:30 on New Year's Eve. And by the way, you should flip those games because Alabama's going to blow out Cincinnati, so people could tune out by, obviously I know the 7:30 time slot's the better time slot. You expect more viewers. But on New Year's Eve? Put the Cincinnati-Alabama game second because that'll be over at halftime and people can go on with their night at 9 o'clock, I imagine. Maybe Cincinnati will surprise me. I think Alabama handles their business with pretty relative ease in that game. And I like them to cover the 13.5. We'll see how it goes. All right, we were talking about the bowls with Lee Sterling. And when you try to predict what to expect from the bowl games, there's one thing you have to look out for. I'll get to that coming up. But in the meantime, we have to see how well you know your bowls. More specifically, Trent, we have to see how well you know your bowl games. Putting you on the spot, into the hot seat here, as we play a little bit of a game. I don't have a name for it. I don't know. How well do you know your bowls? That's what we'll call it. Our handy game show music we always use around here. Typically, it's Joe having to be put into the hot seat. Today, Trent is the lucky competitor.
Here we go.
All right, I'm going to give you a bowl name. You tell me where the game's being played.
Ooh.
I will accept just simply a state, and then if you nail the state, maybe I'll ask you to actually give the city. Okay. But just give me the state of where these games are played. Obviously, most of them are warm climates, most of them, so that helps limit it a little bit.
Mm.
But let's see here. Let's start with some of these random bowls. The sponsors have gotten so ridiculous. The Radiance Technology Independence Bowl.
The Independence Bowl, that's Alabama, right? Or, no, Alabama, Texas?
What are you going with?
Alabama.
Close. Louisiana.
Oh, okay. Same thing.
UAB against BYU. Maybe I'll give you the team names. Maybe that'll help.
Probably not.
Sometimes they try to keep the teams close, right? But,
right.
All right, what about the Lending Tree Bowl? I'll give you the teams. Eastern Michigan against Liberty, the Lending Tree Bowl. Where is that being played?
Lending Tree Bowl, let's think. Lending Tree Bowl. Is that in Florida?
You were one guess too soon.
Oh, it's Alabama.
Alabama.
Oh, okay.
That one is. Mobile, Alabama.
This is going to be bad.
Hey, I would do. See, this is the great thing about being the host is I can always put the producer in the hot seat and save myself from the embarrassment because I would not do any better than whatever you're going to do.
Love a good hot seat.
Absolutely. The R&L Carriers Bowl.
Carriers Bowl. Who's playing?
Louisiana against Marshall.
Texas.
Oh. It's in New Orleans.
It's in New Orleans. Okay, yeah. Another Louisiana. All right.
Yeah.
Why is so many Louisiana?
Yeah. All right, let me try to get away from some of these. I'm just going in order. Oh, here we go. Here's a good one because I love this place. And they don't even sponsor the show. I'll give them free publicity. The Tropical Smoothie Cafe Bowl.
Tropical Smoothie Cafe Bowl. Now, as far as climate goes, warmer climate, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Tropical Smoothie Cafe Bowl. It's got to be Florida.
Oh, I would think Florida. When I think Tropical Smoothie Cafe, I do think Florida specifically. It's in Texas.
That one's in Texas.
Yeah. Jeez. UTSA against San Diego State.
Embarrassing myself.
What else we got here? Let's see. How about the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl?
I was just looking at this, Luke. That's my problem with this whole thing. I was just looking at all these. The Gasparilla Bowl is that one also in Alabama?
I don't know. You tell me. You going with Alabama?
I'm going to Alabama, sure.
Oh, Tampa, Florida.
Tampa, guess what?
If I gave you the teams, I probably would have gave it away. That's UCF against Florida.
Oh, well, all right.
All right, what about the Tax Act? Is it Camellia Bowl? I don't even know how you say this one. Tax Act, let's just call it the Tax Act Bowl. It doesn't really make a difference. Georgia Southern against Ball State on Christmas Day. Where is that being played?
Georgia Southern, Ball State, Christmas Day. Ooh, that's a little complicated. Is that somewhere in Georgia, potentially?
I don't know. Could be.
Yeah, Georgia. Final answer.
All right. Now, Montgomery, Alabama.
What's it?
Man. A couple more here.
This is tough. Because
we got to end on a good note. It's like when you're shooting hoops, you can't end on a miss.
That's a good point.
You got to get out of there on a make.
That's 100% the shots you don't take.
That's right. So let's try to find a make. All right, here we go. This is the Quick Lane Bowl. You got Western Michigan against Nevada on December 27th. Where's the Quick Lane Bowl?
Quick Lane Bowl. Western Michigan and Nevada. That's completely different sides. Oh, Luke. Is it in Nevada?
I don't know. Is it?
It's in Nevada, is it?
You picked the wrong team. It's in Detroit, Michigan.
It's
with Western Michigan.
That's why would you have it in Detroit of all places?
Yeah, seriously. At Ford Field. And they're the road team, by the way, Western Michigan, only by name. Boston College against ECU. BC against ECU. The Military Bowl presented by Paradin.
Military Bowl. I was thinking Pinstripe Bowl. That's in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Warm climate, cold climate? Can I get that?
Cold.
Cold climate, okay.
I would say cold. More on the cold side.
Okay, it's somewhere in Virginia?
Oh, you're close.
West Virginia.
Maryland.
Maryland. Oh,
yeah.
Geez. Luke, this is problematic.
All right, we got to get one here. The Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Good thing there's 43 bowls we can go through before we find a winner. That was like me yesterday, by the way, because we've been talking about me playing pickup hoops. I started so cold yesterday. And my teammates were very supportive, and they said, keep shooting. Even if it takes to your 45th shot, you'll finally make one.
Yeah.
So here, same idea here. Eventually, we're going to get one. West Virginia against Minnesota in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Where is that being played?
Can I get the climate again?
Warm.
Warm climate. Warm climate. Ooh, okay.
And I'll say the teams are no help. West Virginia, Minnesota.
No help at all. Nope. And what was the name of the bowl again? I'm sorry.
It is the Guaranteed Rate Bowl.
Is that like in Orlando? Orlando, Florida. Not even close.
Phoenix, Arizona. What? Chase Field, which is where the Diamondbacks play.
Oh, there you go.
All right, what about, this is a ridiculous sponsor, the Wasabi Bowl. SMU against Virginia on December 29th. Where are they playing the Wasabi Bowl?
Texas.
You know what, I would say that's a good guess. This is actually the Fenway Bowl. Wasabi Fenway Bowl at Fenway Park in Boston, Massachusetts.
I look like a dummy.
All right, how about this? We got to end on a win. Let me give you, I just had one in mind, too.
We ain't winning.
Oh, I know what it is. The Jimmy Kimmel Bowl. Where is the Jimmy? That's right, Jimmy Kimmel is sponsoring a bowl game this year, the Jimmy Kimmel Show. and maybe Jimmy Kimmel Live Bowl. But the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl, where is that?
It's got to be in L.A., right?
There you go.
There
all right. Ding, ding, ding. Absolutely. Playing it out in L.A.
Oh, that was horrible.
And I'm trying to find, I don't even know when that game is or who's playing in it. I just know that's a bowl game, and it's in L.A. So you got it. We end on a positive.
So I went, what, 1 for 9? 1 for 10?
Something along those lines.
Listeners, I apologize for my, you know, arrogance to the locations of these bowls.
Oh, please. Nobody would do any better. Neither, and I wouldn't either. These bowl games are ridiculous.
I'm not great geography, so.
No, me either. I could have given you the Bahamas Bowl. That would have been an easy one.
I wonder where that is.
Yeah, the Boca Raton Bowl, which is now sponsored by RoofClaim.com. here's the Jimmy Kimmel L.A. Bowl, presented by Stifel. It's Utah State against Oregon State on December 18th. So that's coming up this weekend.
Where's the Tony the Tiger Bowl? That's the one I'm looking for.
Is there a Tony the Tiger Bowl?
There is a Tony the Tiger Bowl.
Really?
I'm pumped for it.
I did not see that on the list.
I don't know who's playing.
Otherwise,
don't
I would have given you that one. You got a Myrtle Beach Bowl, presented by Tax Act.
If you'd give me those.
I mean, I had to avoid the one Frisco Football Classic. Easy Post Hawaii Bowl. I had to avoid the ones with the names. Even the Idaho Potato Bowl. So there you go.
Well, I tried.
You did just as well as I would, if that makes you feel any better. So, not great company to keep, but nonetheless.
If you had a bowl game, what would your sponsor be?
Oh, that's a great question.
See?
I've never thought of that. If I had a bowl game, now I'm trying to think of like what I use most in my life or what like restaurant would best represent me or that I frequent the most. That is a really good question. If I had a bowl game, who would the sponsor be? The other thing I would also think about is also for gifts, because all these players get gifts from the sponsor for being in the bowl game.
Yeah.
So if I had a bowl game, I mean, I guess I wouldn't need the free gifts if I'm at a point where I can sponsor. You know, I guess I'm, you know, I'm partnering with the sponsor. But that would be another part of it, too. I would want to pick a sponsor that I would get something good from. This is a great question. I don't know. You know, I do love Chipotle.
Ooh.
So if I'm trying to pick something that helps represent, like, my everyday life, I go to Chipotle pretty frequently. Maybe I'd go with Chipotle. I don't think they sponsor a bowl game.
Tomorrow, midday Chipotle bowl?
That sounds pretty good. And then with that, you know, the gift could be whatever. You know, free Chipotle for life. Hook me up.
The winner gets, you know, a year card.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
My brothers always made fun of me because I would always order chicken tenders whenever we go out to eat, and then that elevated to the chicken parm. So if I really wanted to pick something that really represents me, at least in food, it would certainly be something like that. But I don't know what place. Pick your favorite Italian restaurant, I guess, or just chicken tenders. Anybody has chicken tenders. Beef Old Brady used to be a sponsor. I don't know if they still are.
Raising Cane's Bowl.
But I got to be honest. I've said this before. Raising Cane's, I was very disappointed with. I think it's overrated.
Ooh, okay. Yep. Where's your ideal chicken tender then?
That's another good question. You know, I was always growing up. That's right. You asked the hard-hitting questions. Let me tell you. Growing up, I was always, if we're going fast food, I was always just a Wendy's guy.
Okay.
For just the nugs. And then I think Wendy's, when I was growing up, came out with chicken tenders. I don't know if they still have them. And that was a game changer. Ooh. Then I would get the three-piece tenders. That was fantastic growing up as a kid. Because I grew up, my mother is a personal trainer, so we didn't get fast food very often. So usually it was like after a basketball, it was, you know, it would always be tied to like exercise. You just ran around. Okay, fine. We can make an exception. You could have some fast food. Or if I wasn't feeling well. So, the Wendy's, oh, man, like a three-piece tender meal at the time. I don't think they still do tenders, but at the time when I was growing up, they did. And that was a game changer. I love the tenders.
Spicy nugs?
No, now I'm getting old here. I got to be careful with the spicy food. Doesn't sit well with me anymore, unfortunately. I used to be a pretty big spicy in terms of like chicken. That's the problem with Chick-fil-A. Like the best thing I like at Chick-fil-A is the spicy chicken sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
But I got to be careful because it doesn't always sit well with me. So, you know, I got to make sure like I got the rest of the day open. You know, and I don't have to go talk on the radio for 3 hours. But otherwise, I've always said Chick-fil-A I think is a little overrated. I like Zaxby's. Zaxby's is also good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
If we're going just like chicken nuggets. Raising Cane's I was really disappointed with. I went there for the first time last year during the pandemic, and it was not that great. I ate a lot of Popeyes in minor league baseball because they were one of our sponsors. And I do enjoy Popeyes.
King of Kings.
Yeah, they got good chicken over there. So, all sorts of options there. I'm not all that picky. It's hard to screw up chicken tenders, but I tell you, I don't know, something about the Raising Cane's let me down. So, anyways. Hey, when it comes to the bowl games themselves, outside of the ridiculous sponsors, as you try to handicap these games, and I'll have to put together a list. Maybe I'll do it for the show tomorrow. But it's really about who wants it more this time of year. And I think this applies to both Clemson and South Carolina in their bowl games. Iowa State and Clemson, neither one wanted to be here. But when I look at these two teams, both teams, Iowa State has more players in the transfer portal than Clemson does right now, but they're both around double digits. And if you went and you look back at Iowa State's final game of the regular season, Matt Campbell was crying for senior days. He was hugging his players and everything. I just feel like for Iowa State, this is a bit of a letdown. Guys have transferred out. It was a very emotional end to the season, a disappointing year this year. For Clemson, granted, they're missing their coordinators, but Dabo's the type of coach that could get his team ready, I imagine, for a seemingly pointless game like this, even when this is at the end of a down season, just like how they played well to finish out the year when their playoff hopes are already dashed. And on top of that, you have a couple of coordinators who may not be the best guys for the job, but you know they're going to be hungry to prove themselves in their first opportunity in the bowl game, and they have some time to prepare for this one. Much like South Carolina and UNC, for UNC, now granted, Sam Howell is playing. But if you simply just looked at one of those, you know, who would want it more, for South Carolina, this is like their Super Bowl, where UNC started the year as a top 10 team, and now they're playing the Duke's Mayo Bowl. I think that's a bit of a disappointment. Sam Howell may come back to UNC instead of going to the NFL draft. He hasn't declared yet for the draft because, you know, he didn't have as good of a year as he was anticipating. So when you look at these bowl games, kind of like Ohio State-Utah, that's one of my favorite ones. I think Utah may win outright. I'd have to look at the betting line in terms of the spread. But for Utah, Kyle Whittingham, his teams are excellent. He's something like 16-2 in bowl games. He always gets his guys up and ready to go. And Ohio State, up until, 2 weeks ago, they thought they were going to the playoff. Now they're in some random bowl. I don't even know what bowl it is against Utah. Maybe it's a good bowl. But still, you know, that's not where they hope to be. So that's another one where I would like Utah in that matchup. As you look at these bowl games, just trying to pick a winner, a lot of times just look at who do you think wants to be there more. Because I've been to bowl games before, right? Some teams they just check out. They think, this is where we are. We're at the Motor City Bowl in Detroit. Like, this is not how we thought this season would go. And they're going up against a team that's happy to be there. Just like people in your own, like, you know, your workforce, employees of yours, coworkers. Some people are beaten down. They're not happy with their job or their status at work after being there for years. You hire a new employee, and they're all ramped up and excited and ready to go, and they just have better energy, and they're not jaded, and they do a better job. Similar to these bowl games. Who would rather be in that game? That's the team that typically will win the game. Who's looking at it like an opportunity instead of almost like a punishment? And I think that can apply to both Clemson and South Carolina. But there's quite a few games like that. I'd have to compile a list, and maybe I'll do it for tomorrow. But Utah, Ohio State's the one that stands out most. Utah, I think this is a big opportunity for them. Ohio State, I think this is a letdown to be in that bowl game. I think Utah may just win outright. We'll talk more about these bowl games, plus thoughts on early signing day. We'll circle back to that as well. It's the More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio.
Paid the cost to be the boss. Paid the cost to be the boss. Look at me. Know what to see.
It's the Mar Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We were talking about bowls last segment. Now, I did say, for South Carolina, I think this is a bigger deal for them than UNC, but also South Carolina. With Jason Brown transferring out, I guess you have to go back to Zeb Nolan. That's not very exciting. Plus, you lose White in the backfield. So, it's so hard to try to pick and handicap these types of games because you don't know who's playing, who's going to be available. Looks like Sam Howell's going to play for UNC. We'll see how that game goes. And then in regards to trying to pick a spot, I realized while I had a moment during the commercial break, if I was truly trying to pick something that would be the best to represent me, well, now that Jimmy Kimmel has a bowl, I would certainly have to go with Seinfeld. I mean, we reference Seinfeld not quite every day, but pretty frequently on the show. It's the show I've watched the most over the years. Love it. So really, if I had to pick a sponsor, now that Jimmy Kimmel's sponsoring a bowl, his late-night show, Seinfeld would make the most sense for the Morrow Midday Show bowl game. If and when that happens, coming to an arena, coming to a stadium soon, near you maybe. The Morrow Midday Show Seinfeld Bowl. Can't wait for it. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500, to give us a call. Let's go to the phones. Richard is with us. Richard, what's going on? How are you?
Well, what's up, Luke? I hadn't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, what's going on?
Hey, I heard you talking about Tropical Smoothie. I haven't seen you in here in a while either.
That's true. It has been a while. But I love that place. Great stuff.
I'll tell you what, I'll be at the one at Sam Rittenberg till 5. If you come in, I will buy you something.
Oh, yeah? Well, I appreciate that. All right. Maybe I'll stop by then.
But I was going to say chicken tenders. I know we're off topic on sports right now. But chicken tenders, if you've never tried Harris Teeter's, if you can catch them at the buffet, their chicken tenders are the best.
Interesting. I'll have to try those because I have not. That's
yeah, they're crunchy, and the the breading stays on there. You know, that's a big thing for me. Like when I get Publix chicken tenders, sometimes the breading falls off.
Uh-huh.
It's not good.
Yes. No, I'm with you on that. I'm definitely going to try those.
Yeah. Hey, you should think about doing the Luke Morrow Rolex Bowl.
Rolex Bowl? Why is that?
So you can get a free Rolex.
That's a good point. Yeah, absolutely. That's true.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Hey, you as well. Appreciate it, Richard. Yeah, that's my guy over there at the Tropical Smoothie Cafe. That's how much I love that place. Appreciate Richard listening and hanging with us. Yeah, that's a good point. That's another one I didn't think of. Yeah, the Rolex Bowl would make a lot of sense. Hook me up with one of those free watches. Absolutely. I've never been a big watch guy. I do use the Apple Watch. But I got to tell myself, I got a weird wrist, if I'm being honest. I had a watch back in the day. It was actually a gift. I wanted a watch. I wanted to start wearing a watch. So somebody gifted me one for Christmas or my birthday, whatever it was. I have a weird wrist, I'll be honest with you. It's a weird thing about me. I'm in between sizes. So then the watch would be too loose. Or then you go to the next size, it's too small. I don't have, it's radio so you can't see, but I'm going to tell myself I got kind of dainty wrists if I'm being honest with you. And so the watch never fit well. Now what I would do then was you put tape around the inside of the watch because nobody can see the inside. But when you take off the watch, man, that's a bad look. You're wearing a nice watch and you have it taped up inside. But that was the way that I would have to wear it in between sizes, make up the difference so it would fit my wrist properly. Because I wear things on my wrist. I like them to be tight. I don't want them moving around. But a Rolex, I'm not going to turn down a free Rolex. That'd be a good sponsor for the bowl game. Hey, we were talking about the early signing day earlier, and a good point was made. I'm catching up on some of the comments. You can always reach out to the show online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Click on the show page and leave a comment for the show there. I'm looking at some of the comments here, and Oscar makes a good point, and we kind of touched on this earlier, but in regards to Clemson, as he lays out what hurt them in terms of their ranking, just 17th in the country and third in the ACC, is the fact that they only signed 12 players. And so if you look at the average of the players, as Oscar lays out, the average is over 92 of an average, which is exceeded only by four other teams. So essentially, right, it's like a quantity versus quality debate. The number of commits low for Clemson, but the quality is expected to be very high. And the last thing, as Oscar points out, is that they got the number one quarterback, which, of course, is huge. That's the biggest thing because the quarterback's the most important position, and you got the most talented one in this class now that Quinn Ewers reclassified. But I did allude to this earlier in the sense that, everyone's so excited about the job South Carolina has done compared to Clemson right now in recruiting. But when you compare guys who do have a score of 90 or above on 24/7 Sports, for South Carolina, they have zero guys in the 90s the last 2 years. Clemson still pulled in 25 guys last 2 years, including eight this year, eight out of 12. And so over the last three seasons in particular, Clemson leads that category 41-6 in terms of recruits being brought in with an A rating. So that's the big difference. So sometimes these recruiting rankings, it depends what you want to look at and focus on. Sometimes it could simply be because a school brings in a lot of guys. And so because you have a larger class, you're going to have a better ranking. But, of course, the average, like in most things, is more important. How does the average break down? And for Clemson, when you get the average, it looks pretty good for them, even though they finished 17th. But I gave you some winners and losers earlier in the show. You can catch that on demand. Ole Miss, Nebraska, they were two of my bigger losers. Clemson, a little disappointing at 17, but as I just laid out, maybe it's not as bad as it looks. Those are some of the schools that maybe didn't have the ranking, at least, that they were hoping for. 843-721-9500 to give us a call. Let's go back to the phones. Alex is with us. Alex, what's going on? How are you?
Good. Look, so when the bowls are like, do companies just decide like they want to, hey, I want to be the bowl sponsor? Or
What's that? How does that work? How does
there was something to say, like, I want to be a bowl sponsor. Like, I want to be like the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl. How does that work? How much does it cost? And I mean, so my last quote is, don't let Chipotle do it yet because they're not public yet. I want them to save their money so when they go public, I can buy their stock. Don't
okay.
let them do it yet.
All right. We'll hold off. Sounds a little greedy of you, Alex, but okay. If you insist, we'll hold off on that. That's a good question. I don't know how that process begins. I guess you just reach out, or maybe they reach out to certain companies when the sponsor becomes available and say, like, hey, you have any interest? And I don't know how much it costs, but I'm sure it's a good amount because you get a lot of publicity, although you also have to provide gifts. I really don't know the back deal, the workings of these sponsors' bowls and those contracts and deals they come up with. But I think it just shows how silly it's getting that we now have the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl. I mean, what are we doing here? Not that the sponsors have ever been all that great over the years. We'll wrap up your Thursday when we come back. Tonight is a playoff game. It's the More Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
What a funky finish to your Thursday afternoon here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. I always think of John Lovett singing this in Wedding Singer, and he does a great job with it when he's auditioning for Drew Barrymore's wedding. And then I think they brought the song back with Lovett's in Little Nicky, I think. Maybe not. When he's in the tree spying on the woman in the bedroom. Underrated movie, Little Nicky, when it comes to Adam Sandler films. Probably will be better than the news Happy Madison production with Kevin James playing Sean Payton. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. And don't forget, you can take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go. Just simply stream us online at charlestonsportsradio.com or through TuneIn Radio, your smart speaker, or our free app. Search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. Podcasts also available in that app, online at charlestonsportsradio.com, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, online at Charleston Sports Radio. Or I should say, just search ESPN Radio Charleston, wherever you listen to your podcast. Appreciate listeners checking in from at least 12 different states on this Thursday afternoon. Before we go, I always give you a pick for all primetime games in the NFL here on the show. Tonight we have Chiefs-Chargers. This is a playoff game. If the Chiefs win this game, their chances of winning the division increase from 62% to 92%. But if the Chargers win this game, their chances increase to 62% of winning the division. If the Chargers lose, they drop to 7%. So this is an elimination game in the division for the Chargers. If the Chargers win, it doesn't mean that they necessarily have the division wrapped up, but they will have the easier path. They'll have the step ahead because that would mean they've beaten the Chiefs both times this year to have the tiebreaker. The Chargers beat the Chiefs the first time on the road. And remember, they were the ones that showed by using their defense how to slow down Mahomes with the two safety look. When it comes to a betting perspective, because I always give you a pick, we're going to take the Chargers, 3-point dog at home. I'll take a home dog in a divisional game. I know there's not much of a home field advantage there. But we'll roll with the Chargers, 3-point dog. And the over-under, 52. Ooh, 53.5 now. It's gone up. I like that even better. We'll take the under as well. Let's roll with the under and the Chargers tonight. And we'll break it all down in the show tomorrow. It's the More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.